I was like, oh, this is a bit, you know, for me, I'm like, oh, okay, get into it. But I have so enjoyed it. And I'm going to do more. We've got a couple of weeks of others and then I'll get back into some more of it. Because it is relevant. It is relevant. And at this time of in the end time seasons, I think it's important that we know what's going to happen. And so my title is The Revelation of the Risen Jesus. And I just want to mention that it is revelation. It isn't revelations. I've said that myself sometimes. It's easy because it flows off. But it is the book of Revelation. And, you know, it's probably the least read book, the most intimidating book, because if you just read it, you think, what the heck is this about? And that's probably why it's the less read. And I just want to, I forget to welcome Julie today. Julie's new here today, sitting up the back next to Matt. Julie's been our friend for a lot of years. And even her parents used to come here years ago, Bill and Laurel, and Mick too. So whatever you don't understand, that's okay. Just take what you do and just enjoy, okay? So I know there's a lot in Revelation that is hard to understand, and I don't understand it all myself, but I'm going to work through, and we're going to focus on not on the hardest things to understand, but the things that are most obvious and the things that are clearest to understand. We're going to look at those. So I'm basically just doing an overview of chapter one. That's a good place to start at the beginning of it. And we don't want to get lost in some of the minute details, which we could have lots of discussions and opinions on. But we want to focus on what the main thing that God is saying to us today. So let's put our spiritual ears on, open our hearts, and let's receive what God wants us to understand today, okay? It's actually the most important letter that we could read, considering the times that we're in, and we need to embrace it also. It's an awe-inspiring book, a little bit intimidating at times if we don't understand it, because it's in the throne room of Almighty God. And it is about the end of the age. It's the final battle between evil and good. And there is a lot of awe and wonder in this as well. So I'm going to read right through chapter one, and then I'll go back. So if you can go back and follow me, Linda, that's great. If you can't, and thank you, Linda. It's her first run on her own up there today. Well done. So this is the prologue, was the title in my Bible. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, that's us, was what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. I like this bit. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Greetings and doxology. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sin by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power for ever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples on the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and companion, in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, "Write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea." I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword. His face was shining like the sun. His face was like the sun shining in all of its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. And then he placed his right hand on me and he said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore what you have seen, what is now and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches." So that's the full chapter, and we'll go back and have a look at those as we go through. So a few thoughts about the prologue. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, and revelation here means it's unfolding, it's revealing. It's revealing something to us. This letter was written to us to unfold Jesus Christ, and this letter has more about Jesus Christ than we might even know or understand. There is an urgency in this, and there is a confidence in this. Something is going to happen, and we need to know about it, because it will soon come to pass and it will take place. In verse 1, which I'll just recap, the revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. So he sent an angel to John. This is the same John who wrote the Gospel of John and John 1, John 2 and John 3. One of the disciples, the followers of Jesus. And John used to say about himself that he was the disciple that Jesus loved. This is the same John that we're talking about here. And John was the only one of Jesus' original 12 disciples who was not killed for his faith. He had the privilege of having an angel come to him and invite him into this story. So what we will see is that he has the ability, John is seeing, having the ability to see a tour of heaven and to see the future unfold, so that he could then come to us and let us know what's happening. So this was written to inform us. So what we see here is that he's going to share with us what he saw. And he's testifying to everything that he saw. So this isn't John just sitting down one day having some ideas. This is testimony to what he saw. And in the first chapter, we're going to see that he's getting a glimpse of what's happening in the throne room of God and at the end of the age. We're getting a glimpse of what's happening here. And have you ever wondered what it would be like to be in that room? I know sometimes we've even sung a song about the sound of heaven or something in heaven. And we saw that today about his coming on the clouds. And I think we can get a slight glimpse, but to be in that room and to see that, I don't know that we could really comprehend that. But I know that there's a sound of heaven, and we see that numerously through Revelation as well. So the book of Revelation, it unveils Christ's full identity and God's plan for the end of the world. And it focuses on his second coming and his victory over evil. And if you read Revelation, don't focus on the timetable of the events because they're not in chronological order. Or focus on the details of John's imagery, that we miss what God is saying in his message to us, which is infinite love and power and the justice of our Lord Jesus Christ. So John was seeing things that he'd never seen before. And we're going to see the word like a lot. John says, I saw something like. I saw like. And so it's his comprehension because he's never seen this before. So he doesn't quite know how to fully describe everything he was seeing because it's never been seen before. So it wasn't like a different version of something he'd seen. It was nothing he'd seen before. And he was trembling at some of the time because he was in awe, and some of the time he was face down on the ground. And this angel is saying to him, write all this down. And the Son of Man is also saying, write all these things down. And he's trying to write them down. He would have been terrified at the same time. Could you just imagine for a moment all that before your eyes? He'd never seen anything like it. And I was watching a YouTube clip, and AI, artificial intelligence, which is coming into the world at great speed, they put the scriptures into an AI creative art program, and it came up with this imagery of heaven and of these scriptures. I was going to show it, but I thought not to, because I thought it's AI, it's not God, okay, and we can get caught up. But I thought, we have this picture in our mind of what angels might look like, but I don't even know that we're going to comprehend what an angel looks like here. They must have been so huge, because every time an angel appeared to someone, the first thing they said was, fear not. They would have been scary. They were huge. And so when I saw these pictures of these angels that this program had created, I thought, wow, heck, we're in for a big surprise. But of course, that was AI, so I will not show them. I don't want anyone to think that's what I think. So in verse 3, interesting, he says, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it. We're all hearing it today. And take to heart what's written in it, because time is near. So that sort of shows us what's going on. John then to the seven churches in the province of Asia, and we get to talk about these churches a little later, because he turns and he sees, and Jesus said to him, write on a scroll and send it off to the churches. Let them know. This is a letter to the seven churches here: Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis and Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And when you Google these places, you get, it's like Turkey today. I do have a map at the bottom, if you can flick in there. And we can see those places there. Yeah, interesting. It's good to see some visual, isn't it? So these are cities that had churches which were established by Paul and by others back in the day, and they went there to spread the good news, obviously, of the resurrection of Jesus. And these churches had emerged here. And pressure had come, and it was a difficult time to be in the church, and so that's why he's writing to these churches in Asia. And he says, and we're going to look at verse 4, he says to the seven churches, grace and peace to you for him who is and who was and who is to come, from the seven spirits before his throne and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sin by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. What we get here is the opening is that it's the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit, the one who is, who was and who is to come. That's who this letter's coming from. And from the seven spirits. It says that they come from the throne, but in some translations it says sevenfold spirits. What does that mean? Well, the seven spirits that come from his throne, as you'll see the number seven a lot throughout Revelation, it's a number which means completion or perfection. And so the sevenfold spirit is the fullness, the completion, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So that's what that means there. It's the fullness and completion, and he is coming from the throne. Everything in Revelation is looking at the throne. The sevenfold spirits coming from the throne. So we see the Father, we see the Son, and the one who saved us, the one who redeemed us, Jesus. They're the ones sending us this revelation. And, of course, Jesus and the Holy Spirit is the centrepiece of this book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. We see then that he says, look, he's coming on the clouds, and we sang that this morning. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. All the peoples on the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. We sang that today, and that's basically scripture extracted by the from the Word of God and put into music. It's not just poetic. He is coming on the clouds, and every eye will see him. It's right here. Now it says, even those who pierced him, and all the people of the earth will mourn because of him. And we're saying that, you know, are we saying, you know, everyone, ones that plotted this, the ones that threw the spear, are they going to see him? Well, and the people that drove the nails into him, they're going to see him, because it actually just says every eye, every eye. So we don't need to discuss who, it's every eye will see him. And the whole is going to mourn when he comes on the clouds. Well, we could spend all day answering that one, but the point is he's coming on the clouds and every eye will see him. And some of you may have more of a revelation than I do, but as I said, I want to focus on the things that we can focus on and take from this. So don't get caught up thinking about that too much, who's going to see him. Just stand amazed that the whole earth is going to see him, even the people who organised his death. They're going to know that he is the risen Lord indeed. So every eye, that's the important part. You're going to see him. I'm going to see him when he comes. So don't get too confused about the others. They're all going to see him. And then Jesus speaks in Revelation. We know it's his words because it's in red when he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come. And he says that quite a bit. So he's obviously wanting us to remember he who is and who was and who is to come. And then John starts to tell his story. He says, I, John, in verse 9, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Jesus, John was persecuted. Now, at this stage, Peter and Paul were already dead, and we're looking at about 96 AD in time, roughly. And a guy called Domitian was the emperor in Rome at the time, and he's running the world, and he thinks that he's God. Yep. In fact, he has everybody going into a temple and having some little spiritual act of worship to him, and if you didn't, well, then you were in trouble. He was known for reigning in terror. Terror. So it would not have been a nice time to be in. And most people just did it. They didn't care. They just did what they had to do because they didn't think it really mattered. Sort of like you can relate to that today, can't you? To not do, I mean, we know from other stories in the Bible of Daniel and of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, they didn't bow down. And there was no way John was going to do this. And so he's now being persecuted for his faith. He's now been exiled out onto the island of Patmos. Now, Patmos was in the Aegean Sea, and that was part of Greece. It was 38 miles from the mainland of Turkey, so not too far from the seven churches. Now, it was said that they tried to kill John multiple times, but he didn't die. History tells us that they even boiled him in a big vat of oil. They dropped him in as their entertainment, but he sank and then bobbed back up to the top and began to proclaim Jesus. Could you imagine that they were determined to get rid of John? So that's why they send him to this island of Patmos. And so he arrives there and he sets up his little spot in a rocky quarry. And as far as we know, he spends the rest of his life there. So, as I said, it's about 96 AD. Jesus died in 33. So this is about 63 years down the track after Jesus was risen from the dead. I'm not sure how old John was, maybe around the 90, but here he is in a rock quarry and following Jesus still. Notice what it says in verse 10. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. Physically, he was in Patmos, but spiritually, he was in the Spirit of God. And I don't know about you, but if ever you've been worshipping or something and you just get carried away in the Spirit, I guess that's what was. But to a greater level, I think, than I've ever experienced, that's for sure, he was in the Spirit of God. He was banished to the worst part of the earth, and yet he could still get himself together and get in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Take a moment to think about that. He chose that in the worst place and the worst circumstances, and I don't think my circumstances have ever been that bad, and yet at times we feel pity for ourselves and we don't worship. But there's John, what an example to us. That where he was and what he had been going through, that he found that place where he could get in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He was still showing up, hadn't lost his faith, had not given up on the risen Jesus because he'd seen him. Here he was in the Spirit. As we go on, we read, and I heard behind me a loud voice, like a trumpet. There's that like again. So there was a similarity, but probably something way different. But he could only imagine what it was like. So he heard I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches. Verse 12, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. I guess John had only ever seen Jesus when he was on earth. And so he's recognizing that it's like Jesus, but it's not the Jesus that he remembered or recognized. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. There's a sound of heaven. His voice was like rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword, and his face was shining in all its brilliance. Imagine a guy talking to you with a sword coming out of his mouth, white hair, eyes of fire, and feet glowing like they'd been in a furnace. Awe. Awe. And then he says, this is John, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. And then he placed his right hand on me and he said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. This is the risen Jesus that we're talking about. Same Jesus, but this Jesus chose incarnation, meaning he took on flesh. He didn't walk around Galilee with a double-edged sword literally coming out of his mouth, but yes, his words were a double-edged sword. He didn't terrify people with his presence when he would walk around, but he did terrify the demons. We need to realise that the Jesus that we have a relationship with and worship is not the same Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And yes, the one who we pray to is still the same Jesus who walked on the water, calmed the storms and said everything's okay, peace. He's the same guy who fed all the people with the loaves and fishes and the guy who reached out and touched that leper and the one who didn't have a place to lay his head. That was Jesus. But God is saying to us today to move our relationship with Christ through Matthew, Mark, Luke and John to the ascension, which actually means the action of rising to a higher level, and to understand that the man from Galilee is the risen Son of God. And he is fierce and unrivaled and unparalleled in every way. And his eyes are like fire and his face like the sun at noonday. And yet he lives in us, closer than a friend. And we call him Almighty God, Abba Father. And yes, we know that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. He is the risen Christ. But don't get any crazy ideas that when we see him, we're going to high-five him, or that he's just the man upstairs, which I hear people say. No, he is Yahweh. He is God Almighty who sits on the throne, risen, risen King of Kings. And so I hear some people, probably not Christians, but they say the man upstairs, but he is a holy God. And we have to move from thinking that and have a reverence and a holiness for our God, because he is the risen God. John collapsed. He went down like a dead man when he had a glimpse of this risen Jesus. And has there ever been a time in your life, as I close, that the only place that you knew you could get was on the ground before our God? Well, I want us to have a glimpse of that risen Jesus and let that change us. He has all power and authority, and he has done everything that he's going to do for us. We just have to claim it, proclaim it, and walk in it. It's done. What he does, he wants us to glimpse. He wants us to glimpse that he is triumphant. He wants us to glimpse that he wins, that he reigns, that he is victorious, and he is on the throne of thrones right now and telling us and showing us that it's going to get dark, it's going to get messy out there, going to get hard, and it might even get brutal. But he wants us to know that he reigns. He's victorious. He's on the throne right now. He is reigning. So don't ever think that just because of the darkness of these end times, that don't let it in some way obstruct our view of him. If it could have obstructed anyone's, it would have been John, all that he went through, and we only hear a little bit. Don't let what's happening in the world and what we don't see yet obstruct our view of the risen Jesus. And don't ever think that in the coming days he is less brilliant than he is right now. And even though hard times and persecutions may get in the middle of that, he is just as brilliant. And revelation isn't given to us to tell us a timeline. It is given to us to tell us that our King is reigning triumphantly and to tell us that he's coming soon, because what this chapter tells us is that he is near and every eye will see him. And all we need to do is be ready, because this will happen. And in the weeks ahead, I will go more into things, but I just wanted to bring an overview and for us to understand that this is to us, this is a gift to us. We have knowledge of the future. People go to clairvoyance to find out knowledge, what nonsense and what evil that is, because they might sound right, but they're familiar spirits and they are not of God. Every eye will see him. And so, yes, there's a bit of a reverent awe of, oh, heck. But he said to John, he touched John as John fell down dead and said, do not be afraid. We don't need to be afraid. And I know that my mind can't even imagine what it's going to be like. But just know that we're going to be okay. He's going to be with us. And so I just leave that with you this morning, the first chapter of Revelation. I encourage you to read it. And then as I get into some more in the coming weeks, I mean, you may know more than me and you might come up, and that's okay, and say, oh, what about this? Well, that's great, because we can all help each other learn, can't we? So I just encourage you, and it says that people who read that are blessed. So let's be blessed people, amen? All right, so we're going to finish, and I'm going to play that song again, because I think after that message, we may have a little bit more of a revelation of the line.